Good afternoon, everyone. Let me go ahead and call the study session of Monday, August 27th, 2007 to order. We have two items, basically to go over the August 27th, which is tonight's council meeting, and also September 4th. And then we'll have an update and discuss some drought conditions. So let's go to the packet for tonight's agenda. And let me just try something different here. You all have it in front of you. Does anybody, I know we have four H's off. I have a conflict. Rex, you have two that have been pulled because of conflicts. I think four F and what was the other one? 7H. There was some talk about 7H had to be approved before. So is that?
Yes, Mayor. The purpose for that is that 7H is approving the grant, but 4F is the actual expenditure of the dollars.
So can I just switch those when we
Since they're off consent, we want to make sure that they happen.
We'll call on 7H first then. All right. Does anyone have anything in the packet for this evening that they wanted to address? Scott?
Thank you, Mayor. I had item 8M pulled off of consent, which I'd like to leave off consent, but I had asked a question of our city attorney, and it was a legal question regarding the conversion of condos versus a townhouse. It's my understanding that this particular conversion was not requesting to switch to condominium, which, if I'm correct, Debbie, under state law, we really don't have any authority to enforce any stipulations for. So the question was, is this a condo conversion or a townhouse? My understanding is it's a townhouse since it is a request for zoning change.
Yes, Mayor, Councilmember Summers, that's correct. They are not seeking, they are not establishing themselves as a condominium complex as defined in state statute. So they are not, you have full discretion with regard to the rezoning.
Okay. So if we wanted to add some stipulations, and the stipulations specifically that I'm looking for, John, and is I would like to know that the engineering within the structure is sound. We've seen none of that. Update codes, building safety codes specifically, but I also understand that there were some other gentlemen's agreement, if I can use that term, between the developer and the city of some upgrades that, with the parking lot, painting, and some other items that were going to be completed but were not added as stipulations to this. For what reason?
Mayor, Councilmember Summers, the case was heard by the planning hearing officer, and at the time that discussion went on, there was, I guess, maybe not complete information for the planning hearing officer. He believed it was going to be a condominium and therefore did not actually make those stipulations of the approval. We have since, as the city attorney has discussed, come to the understanding that this is not going to be done under the condominium provisions. Therefore, they could be added as stipulations. In visiting briefly with the applicant late this afternoon, we know there are some additional things that he is planning to do and will present to you this evening in terms of what he's planning to do on the project. The council can hear those, and then we could, if it's the desire of the council, continue the case to add those as specific stipulations to give us some enforceability to ensure they happen, and maybe add to them if you don't believe he's doing enough.
Is the applicant here? Well, at the discretion of the mayor, I'd like to know if he would be agreeable to allow us to add those to it and bring it back for reintroduction next week. Is that what you would be recommending?
Mayor, Councilmember Summers, that would be an option that we could do, is to bring it back next week for introduction of the new ordinance for then hearing later in September.
Okay, I'm kind of in concurrence with that type of route to go on this one. The other question I had, I haven't seen the list of stipulations, so I'll have to pick that out of my packet here, but were CC&Rs also considered, or how does that work?
Mayor, that was not specifically in the list, and again, the applicant may be able to talk a little bit more specifically about what they're planning to do, but as a townhome project with extensive common area within the development, there would need to be some mechanism, typically a homeowner association, that is set up for maintaining those, and those would be part of the CC&Rs.
Okay, my fear is that we're going to have to send it back through again, so I think we probably at some point need to hear from the applicant. Why don't we try this? Why don't we go ahead and continue on with what we have in our packet, and if we have some time, let's go back to 8M, and maybe we can call the applicant up and resolve some of it in study session instead of the council meeting, if that works.
Yes.
All right. Anything else on the agenda for this evening that anyone wants to discuss? All right. Let's go ahead and then find the packet then for the September 4th council meeting, which would be Tuesday, September 4th. And let's take a peek at that one and see if we've got anything. Let's go ahead and go through that a page at a time. Got liquor license applications and some contracts. Tom?
I'd like 4A taken off consent, please.
Okay. Let's remove 4A. We're going to find that okay. All right, let's go to page 3. Tom?
Just for clarification purposes, on 5A, the last sentence of what's written here in the agenda suggests that Mesa transferred its community action agency designation to a new leaf. We didn't transfer it to anyone. We gave up the designation and allowed the state of Arizona to decide to whom it would be transferred or who would be the new designee. This implies that we identified, chose, and otherwise preordained the organization that is now the community action agency, and I don't want that to I don't want that out there because that isn't what happened.
No, I concur. Okay, that's page 3. Page 4. Get into resolutions, bottom of page 4. Continued on page 5. Vice Mayor.
Just a comment, I don't have the P&Z book, but 5D, which is 845 and 851 North Gilbert Road, is that the one that's immediately adjacent to the Montessori School?
Yes, Vice Mayor, yes.
Okay. The Montessori School, whoever is running that is doing it's really looking good. As I drove by yesterday, I thought I need to send them a note and thank them because it's looking nice. That'll be nice. Thank you.
Okay. Put us on page 5. I know 6D is on the consent, but that's been a cooperative planning with the City of Mesa and Mesa Schools for a long time. We can share demographics and a lot of information, so I appreciate that staff position continuing to be shared. All right, page 6. Vice Mayor.
Looking at item 6I, which is approving and authorizing an intergovernmental agreement for joint use of facilities in the event of a major disaster catastrophic event that requires temporary shelter or evacuation. This is an agreement with Mesa Public Schools, which is great. My question is, are we doing the same thing with Gilbert Public Schools for the southeast portion of our community or potentially Queen Creek Public Schools, also again for the southeast portion of our community, and who would be looking at that?
Sounds like they're looking into it now.
All right, so much for what I said.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Councilmember Vice Mayor Walters. We are not currently following a similar agreement with the Gilbert Public Schools. This is something that is kind of leading up to the top-off exercise and kind of a fallout from that this particular event. So we decided that it would probably be a good idea to at least establish one with the city of, Mesa Public Schools. In the future, we may certainly look into Gilbert and some of the other schools that we kind of co-locate in the city of Mesa as well.
Well, it's my request that you do that, and I think
Absolutely.
It's great to do it. I don't know about using the term fallout when we're talking about weapons of mass destruction, but the Gilbert Public Schools now has the area of Mesa where the newer houses are coming in, and more so than Mesa Public Schools, which is still experiencing, you know, some new housing coming in, but Southeast Mesa and Scott's district seeing a lot more of that, and I just want to make sure that we don't exclude that portion of the community. It's great to have these long-standing relationships, and we want to continue them, but we need to do that one, too.
We can do that.
Thank you.
Okay, Scott.
On that point, Joe, could you just give me a brief breakdown of what those agreements would be? What's going to be?
Essentially what it is, Councilmember Summers, is that if, in fact, the schools need to evacuate, they can use City Mesa facilities, and if we need to use school facilities, it would be reciprocal. That's essentially what that document's all about.
Okay.
Yeah, then I agree with Claudia. We definitely need to pursue that with Gilbert. I don't know that Queen. We'll have to check and see if there are any Queen Creek schools. There might be one in our district.
It's probably Gilbert, Chandler, Queen Creek, and then obviously City of Mesa.
Although I'm sure they pay attention, so they'll be calling you very soon.
Possibly.
That follows up the mutual aid, some of the agreements that we have with the other communities. We should have reciprocal arrangements if there is a catastrophic event, if we can talk.
We're working
those
on that right now, Mayor.
Right. Good. Tom?
On item 7, I just need to know, is local transportation assistance funds, LTAF 2, is that required to go to transit operations and maintenance? It's probably not for you. Or is it, can it be used for any form of local transportation assistance?
Mayor, members of the council, yes, this will be used to operate and maintain existing fixed route bus service.
I understand what it will be used for. My question is, does LTAF 2 money have to go to transit, or can it go to other forms of local transportation?
Yes, it can go to other forms of transportation.
Okay.
Yes.
I'd like item 7 taken off consent, then, please.
Mayor, Councilmember Rawls, I believe LTAP 2 is specifically to transit.
Yes.
Transit.
Yes,
only.
Transit, but it could other forms than fixed route. It is transit only.
Oh, it is transit only.
Yes.
I get to have one of those wonderful choices then.
Mm-hmm. Well, it could be bicycles, Tom.
Bicycle pass?
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Even better. How about horse pass?
Yeah. All right. Want to leave it on or off?
I'll leave it on. There's no.
Okay. All right. Under 8A and 8B, I know a lot of the council members hopefully were briefed on that. If we adopt that, it still does require a council use permit under 8B. So for office use, it's not a, just enables them to qualify. All right. Okay. Page 7. Ordinances continued on. No, on page 8 is subdivision plats. Anyone have anything we skipped over? All right, let's go to the hear an update and discuss drought conditions, and then if we have time, we'll go back to Vice Mayor.
I just want to note that 9B should not be on the consent agenda. It's a legal protest, so that needs to be taken off.
For which night?
On the September 4th. It's on the consent. It shouldn't be on consent.
One was extending to the next council meeting. That's not it, though.
Okay. That's still protest?
It's got a legal protest on it. It right. was continued to the September 4th council meeting, but that's when the vote's going to take
place. Yeah, it's the Queens Park issue.
Yeah.
Still legal.
Correct. Okay.
Good afternoon, Mayor, council members. Going to give you a quick update on the drought. It's been appearing in the papers with some regularity again lately since the rains of 05. Haven't had much since then. And there we go. I'm going to take you through real quickly just some climate conditions. Can sum this up easily by saying that it doesn't look real good. I think we're all used to seeing this picture by now. It's the U.S. drought monitor that the federal government comes out with. It never looks particularly good for us, but now we're hovering somewhere between an abnormally dry and an extreme drought. So,
have they forecast this for a period of time, like 5-10 years, and have we ever gone back and see how accurate their forecasts have been? Is that?
I never have.
Okay.
Interesting question. Moving forward, though, they do some of the outlooks that they do relate to both temperature and precipitation, and they always show, this time of year, they always show some improvement for our region, and that's because of the monsoons. So that's not surprising.
I think they would disagree with that being a drought condition in the New Orleans area that's been highlighted, but maybe not.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Too much water.
I've broken it.
Iowa is sporadic. They hit it in one field and nothing. So someone we're doing three.
I know. See, you cursed me.
Oh, is that it?
Okay, here we go. Okay, so NOAA Climate Predictions, which is the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration. Is that right? They are predicting above average temperatures over the next year. And, of course, we care about temperature because temperature generally increases demand. And they are predicting below average precipitation over the next year. We care about that because rainfall here in the valley tends to lower demand. And, of course, we want precipitation on the watershed so that we can get some water in our reservoirs. Now, you'll recall that we have two main watersheds, the Salt River watershed and the Colorado River watershed. The Bureau was projecting that runoff into Lake Powell this year would be about 70% of normal. Over the last 7 years, I think we've only had 1 year that was above normal, and that was 2005. Lake Powell and Lake Mead are both at about 50% capacity at this time. On the Salt River system, it looks just as bad, unfortunately. We're looking at the 17th driest runoff period in the 107 years they've been keeping records. So that's not too good. You can see the big blip at the end of the chart was 2005 when we last got some decent rain. I'm going to talk a little bit about our water allocation conditions. The Central Arizona Project conditions, the Bureau is calculating that there is a chance of shortage on the Colorado River. And remember that the Central Arizona Project has the junior priority on the river. So if there is a shortage, we get hit first. They're calculating that chance rises to something that is nearly significant by 2012. The CAP itself does its own projections, and they put the risk at 15% by 2016. But it's important to realize that even if there were a shortage on the Colorado River, we don't anticipate that that would affect our supplies, because right now CAP supplies are not fully utilized by those who have rights to them. So all the water that's not currently ordered by cities and the Indian communities and other interests is banked underground with the Arizona Water Banking Authority. And right now that's enough water to carry us through for quite some time, even were there to be shortage on the Colorado River. Over on the Salt River Project side, doesn't look real good. SRP is showing an allocation cut by 2010 under worst-case scenarios. Did they decide to change the mix this year? The mix of surface water and groundwater may change between now and then. But again, that's not a cutback in the physical availability of the water. That's really just a change in the legal flavor that doesn't really affect MESA very much. So worst case, maybe a cut by 2010. As you recall, we did receive a significant amount of water at the top of Roosevelt Dam in 2005 with the rains, which was really nice. But we've used pretty much all of that water. We'll have maybe 2,000 acre feet left over, maybe, at the end of this year. It's been nice to use it. It's been a nice cost savings for us. We're estimating about $1.8 million was saved by that the receipt of that water. But it'll all be gone by the end of this year. So if the reservoir fills again this year by some alignment of the planets, it'll make us look really smart because we drew down all of our water and used it, and then hopefully it'll fill again. So we'll see.
And that was the contribution that was made to expand the capacity of Roosevelt, and we got the top portion only if it filled.
That's exactly right. And since we've basically already paid for that, anytime it fills, then it's about as close to free water as you can get. It's nice. We have to pay the Salt River Project to bring it down the canal system to us, but the cost of that is very small. So,
okay.
Nice to get it when you can. This is a quick look at SRP's reservoir storage. It is actually, this chart shows you what they planned on their storage and their reservoirs being and what it actually is. And you'll see that the actual is higher than what they planned, even though we haven't had much rain. Or much rain in the watershed. And the reason for that is that they've been supplementing by purchasing CAP water, which is nice. When SRP purchases CAP water, they buy it at, you know, around $110 an acre foot, and they sell it back to us for about $15. So we always like when they do that. And again, surface water aside, we still have plenty of long-term storage credits. We have plenty of groundwater allowance credits. And in addition, if and when surface water drought or surface water supplies are cut, we're also allocated some amount of drought pumping that we don't have to replace. So we're doing pretty well in terms of allocation. I'm going to have Colette Moore talk to you a little bit more about the City of Mesa's drought team and our drought plan. She's recently taken over the drought team, so I'm going to let her take it from here.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Council members. We'll keep this very short and simple, seeing as everything is looking pretty good so far. The drought conditions are continually monitored. All of the data that Catherine just presented to you, we look at continuously throughout the year to assess the conditions. And so far, we think we're in a pretty good position. You may remember in 2004, things looked a little more bleak, and we did enter stage one at that time upon your approval. But in the rains in 05, we were able to pull out of that again. The rains in 05, again, was what filled the new conservation space, the top of Roosevelt Dam. That's when the Salt River was flowing. So we were able to pull out of it at that time. And again, we feel like we're in a really good position to stay out of our drought status alert at this time. The drought team last met in April of this year. It's an interdepartmental team, and we all get together quarterly, I think, we're supposed to. And we go over this data and kind of talk amongst one another to see if we see any need for management authority or any kind of council approval. And we didn't see any at this time, but we did see a need to come and brief you all to let you know what's going on with the city as it is making it into the papers a little more frequently. Of course, we do want to encourage our customers to conserve water and use it wisely. We are in a desert, and so the City of Mesa does offer some programs to our customers. We've just started a brand new grass to xeriscape conversion program. It's been very popular. If you have at least 500 square feet of grass to remove, you may apply to the city, and we will give you a $1 per square foot rebate on that. You can go on our website and find out more about that. Also, we have our Waterwise Landscape Workshops that are free to the citizens. You can come on down and one of our conservation staff will a variety of programs to educate on. There's also a landscape water reminder, which is an email reminder sent out frequently. Also, water management for commercial customers. Our commercial customers may contact the conservation staff to get help on their water budgets. And then also, there are free educational booklets available to anyone. You can go onto our website, look at the different options, and let us know, and we'll be happy to mail them out to you.
Okay. Mesa's 400,000 foot of long-term storage credits, acre feet. Is our annual use about 100,000 acre feet a year?
Our annual water demands are about 100. Well, our annual water demands are around 100,000 acre feet per year. That's what we use to serve our customers. But not all of that comes from the long-term storage credits, obviously.
No,
but
if we
but that's the comparison.
If we were totally shut off from all other water sources, do we have 4-year supply? Is that
Yes
that
and no.
Way or not?
On paper, yes, we would. The problem is we wouldn't have the well capacity to meet that demand without any surface water whatsoever. That's why maintenance of our well program is so important to us, and so important to our water resources master plan long term. And eventually, remember that something like a third of our off-project supplies will come from what has to be physically delivered through a well. So, yeah, we have the water on paper. We just have to also make sure we do our due diligence to make sure we have it physically.
When we talk to Moody's and Standard & Poor's and we show them that water allocation, is there any financial benefit of having that already recharged? Is that on our balance sheet?
Yes, I believe it is. I remember meeting with some of the city's financial people some years ago, and they developed a book value for it, although I'm not aware of the details since then.
Other questions? Claudia?
If we were actually in a dire situation, have you calculated if people stopped watering their lawns, stopped washing their cars, doing those kinds of things, what usage we would have as a city per year? Because the 100,000 acre feet a year is current usage. It isn't drought condition usage.
Yeah, that's an interesting question, and there's kind of two schools of thought on that. One thing to keep in mind is that gallons per capita per day measurements, at least in terms of single-family residential houses, have been relatively flat and declining, I believe, in the city of Mesa. And that's a trend that we see throughout the valley. So there's already that tendency. And we do see that, especially since the drought really started hitting the papers back in, 01, 02, something like that. I don't know if that's coincidence or if there's something else going on. But there does seem to be an increased awareness of drought because of all the articles by Sean McKinnon and others. So But then there's another school of thought that says that, well, there is a tendency also when there's a drought and when temperatures are really high and rainfall's really low, you know, people like their landscaping and don't necessarily want to see it die, that you might actually see some increases in water use in certain sectors. So it's difficult to say, but we do expect that with implementation of the city's drought plan that we would be able to help encourage water conservation and bring those numbers down. And if necessary, we have the power to actually impose mandatory restrictions.
I know in Marin County back in the mid-1970s when they had a really bad drought, people were showering in their trash cans so that they could take the water from having a shower and use it to flush their toilets. And I mean, it was really extreme in terms of the restrictions that people had.
Fortunately, we're a long ways off from that. And we do have very good groundwater resources. So even if, you know, the worst happens and both watersheds are exceptionally dry, you know, that's why we bank water ahead of time. Again, it's just making sure that we have the well capacity to deliver it to particular customers. And there are pressure zones in the east of the city where it's more difficult to drill wells. The water tends to not be as productive, tends to have arsenic problems, where it is, frankly, a little bit difficult to ensure physically that we can get the water to them via wells.
Thank you.
Okay. Scott, do you have a question?
I do, Mayor. Actually, I have two, although option for a half a dozen more just to keep you guys entertained. First one has to do with in November we're going to be sent forward to the voters a proposal for a water park, water-themed park. And there have been some questions from a few people as to whether or not Mesa has the water supply to provide to this park. The current use is as a golf course, so we're already using quite a bit. So I guess my question is, quite frankly, how does this water issue affect, or does it affect at all, the change in use from a golf course to the water park? Should we be concerned about our water supply and the operation of the park?
Good question. Currently the uses for a golf course, I believe they use around 150 to 170 acre feet per year. I don't know that we ever received final projections from Waveyard, but did you remember what those are?
They're saying about 200 for their outdoor
uses. About 200 for their outdoor uses. So it's not much of an increase. It's actually a pretty small increase. And if you put this into perspective of what some of the uses on project have been historically, such as Motorola, which would consume thousands of acre feet a year, it's actually a pretty small commercial use. And so, no, I feel very confident that we have the water for Waveyard regardless of the drought situation.
Okay, thank you. The second question has to do with future use, the Mesa Proving Grounds, I think is what we're referring to it. We're getting into some planning issue. We're at the very, very front end of planning for this and being involved with some public-private dialogue. Have we, as DMB, the developer, reached out for us for discussions about water usage on this and how they may be able to develop some sustainability, including water, energy, a lot of other issues there, but for water in particular, have they reached out to us, or better even yet, have we reached out to them and saying we need to add sustainability as far as water usage is into their plans?
Yeah, they have. As a matter of fact, they came with a full contingent to talk with Colette and myself, and by that I mean they had their technical people and also their water attorneys. It was an interesting discussion because they're used to working with communities that frankly don't have as good a portfolio as Mesa does. And so they were anticipating more obstacles to a development agreement than what we will probably present them. We're looking at some options whereby they could use reclaimed water for some of their turf needs and irrigation uses, which is, you know, obviously something that we want to see because we'd rather have them using those resources than potable. They're very aware. They have approached us, and we are in discussions with them.
I see one of these days that if done right, not just for this issue but a lot of others with regard to planning and usage and mixed use and some very innovative methods that very well could come out of this, there are going to be books written on the development of the Mesa Proving Ground. Just mark my words, 10 years from now, and okay, I could be the author of at least one of them.
then we'll be very careful.
But I'm going to let you go on the other six questions. Thank you, Mayor.
Rex?
Could you comment on the settlement of the suit that's been in the federal courts for years and years between the cities and the Native American tribes and the impact that has on our water supply and our 12,000 acres of water farm in Pinal County?
Mayor, Councilmember Griswold, I assume, are you referring to the Healy River Indian Community water rights settlement? Can I comment on that? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. Does it? supposedly, it assures our water supply for the next 100 years, settles some things that were unsettled, and allows us to the 12,000 acres we had in Pinal County as a water farm as a backup to be able to dispose of that land.
Well,
am I wrong on that issue, or?
Mayor, Councilmember Griswold, the Gila River settlement does not allow us to dispose of our Pinal County water farms in the sense that we could have anyway. But the Gila River Indian Community water rights settlement does is it reallocates 7,115 acre feet of CEP M&I priority water to us, which is extremely valuable, and opens up the opportunity for future leases from the Gila River Indian Community as well. In addition, as you know, we're entering into the reclaimed water exchange with the community. That brings us some additional CEP water. So, yeah, it does bring us some additional certainty. It brings some very valuable water resources into our portfolio. And, yeah, that's part of the reason why we feel more comfortable recommending that, you know, moving forward with the divestiture of Pinal County Water Farms.
Thank you.
Kyle?
Some time back, we went over to ASU to the theater and went through the whole picture of the future of water in the valley, and we're still having some issues with our aquifers as far as water being depleted that's outside our city limits. Mm-hmm. What can we do in regard to that, or what are our limitations as far as Pinal County developing and draining our aquifers?
Mayor, Councilmember Jones, that's a complicated question with a complicated answer. Right now, in current statute, frankly, there's not a whole lot that we can do. The development to the east of us is enabled through the Central Arizona Groundwater Replenishment District, CAGRID. If you can prove that you've got 100 years of water underneath your land, then enrollment in CAGRID is pretty much automatic, and there's very little that we can do about that. With that in mind, however, knowing that there are some adverse impacts to us and to our aquifer to the east of us, which we very much want to protect, we are looking at the possibility, along with other local cities and other interests, of working more closely with CAGRID, with the CEP, with SRP, to come up with solutions for this problem, and are also looking at the potential of going to the state legislature to pursue some solutions as well. A lot of that work is being done through the Arizona Municipal Water Users Association.
As in recharging into the aquifer to take water out of. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, thank you.
Mike?
Article left this week on the Navajo Nation and their problems with water. One of the proposals is a pipeline from Lake Powell down to the Mesa area where they're in need of water. Is that allocation theirs, or is there a new formula that would have to come about as a result of that?
Mayor, Councilmember Whalen, the Navajo's claims to water have never been quantified. Water rights for Indian tribes have to be quantified through federal legislation, and that, as you saw in the paper, that's what they're pushing for now. Apparently, the Navajo Nation has come to terms with the state of New Mexico, but they have not come to terms with the state of Arizona, and so I guess the state's position might be that until they come to terms with us, that we would not be prepared to support federal legislation to that end.
The San Juan area would not affect our watersheds in New Mexico?
I'm
going to get beyond where you're at. I don't.
Yeah, know. Mayor, Councilmember, I'm not sure, but I don't believe so.
Okay. All right. But that could be another long dispute that could impact the future?
Well, yeah, Councilmember Whalen, water rights disputes tend to be very long. Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay. Rex?
Just adding to that one, the one that we settled with the Gila Indians has been in the federal court since about what year?
Councilmember Griswold, I believe it was first introduced in the fall of 2004.
Okay. There was one that's way back.
I'm sorry. I misspoke. I think it was introduced in 2003 and then actually passed in 2004.
Okay. There's been some in the federal pipeline since the 70s and even before that, I'd heard, but This is not one of them that's been settled recently.
I'm sorry, could you restate the question?
There are some that I'd heard different dates on when the lawsuit began, and some I've heard in 1970s, I've heard, you know, before that time even, that are still in courts on the water issues. This wasn't one of the 1970s that have been in the courts since then.
Councilmember Griswold, the Gila River Indian Community water rights have been disputed, for 100 years now. So, yeah, this is one of those.
That was the other date I'd heard. 1915 was the beginning of the... That's sort of a make work for lawyers.
Yeah, so. more serious arguments and negotiations began in 1970 and then leveled off for a bit and then began in earnest again in the late 90s when we became more involved as well.
So that's the same suit going all the way through?
No. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks for the update. Item number 4 is here, reports on meetings and or conferences attended. Anybody do any updates? Scott?
Thank you, Mayor. I just a few days ago attended the Freedom Team Salute, which was put on by our veterans, and it recognized the city of Mesa for supporting our employees who are also serving double duty as reservists and Army and Air Force National Guardsmen, excuse me, and who have been serving overseas. And if I could take a moment, I'll just read this briefly. It is a Freedom Team Salute Certificate of Appreciation awarded to the City of Mesa. It's for outstanding support to First Lieutenant Sean W. Prinkley, who works for our police department, a soldier of the United States Army. The Army greatly appreciates your support of soldiers fighting the global war on terrorism and is proud to recognize your contributions and personal sacrifices in preserving freedom and the security of our nation. It is signed by George W. Casey, Jr., General of the United States Army, and Pete Green, which is Secretary of the Army. And I'm going to pass this on to you. They also gave us a pin, which says Employer, U.S. Army, thanking us for your support, but they said it was for the mayor, so I have to pass it back over to you. And it was... being a veteran myself, it was an honor and a privilege to represent the city in that award ceremony. Thank you very much for allowing me to do that. Last piece is that I want to remind everybody that it is Drowning Prevention Month. We were all given purple ribbons, and I've seen them floating around, not wanting to be outdone by my fellow council members. I went with all purple today, including a purple tie, but it's 110, so I'm not sure you're getting the tie. But in all seriousness, we have to remember, you know, watch your kids around water. It just takes 2 seconds, literally 2 seconds. And as a firefighter and paramedic in another life that I serve, I'm done with seeing those. So please watch your kids around water. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else? Scheduling and meetings and general information. Our time is such that we'll do 8 a.m. upstairs. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a reminder to the council that this Thursday, August 30th, study session has been canceled. And some of the items that we had scheduled for that day we'll do as part of our Tuesday, September 4th, study session council meeting. So we need to look and see what the start time will be, but probably a little bit earlier than it was today. So that's for the 4th. And then, again, remember it's Tuesday, not Monday, but Tuesday the 4th because of the holiday. And then we'll have a study session on September 6th. Thank you.
Tom.
Under items of general information, he's not here, but this is Rod Ross's last week as a council assistant, and I think we've all benefited from his expertise and hard work, and Rex and I particularly over the last year or so, I think, when he's been servicing just us. I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank him publicly for all his hard work and let him know that we're going to miss him and that Navajo County's gain is our loss.
All right. Okay. We have no pre-scheduled speakers, so we'll entertain a motion to adjourn the study session.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. We are adjourned.